I want to speak to you today about being a radical follower of Jesus. A radical follower of Jesus. The word radical means thorough, complete, or going to the root. When you go in for an operation and there's a part that has to be cut out, they don't cut out half of it. They have to take all of it. And so that's what God wants for us. He wants all of us. He wants us. He wants to use us. He wants to propel us into the future, but He wants all of us. When we hold back a portion of us, we actually stop God from doing what He wants to do. And so if we give ourselves all to Jesus, He can begin to work through us. But God wants all of us, not like this thing here that I'm using. And so sometimes we go into an operation and we're not sure how far the surgeon is going to go. I want you to know, I went in for a triple bypass. And when I first had the angiogram, because that's the thing that they check to make sure that they are doing what needs to be done. And normally they can just put a balloon in there and they stretch it open, and then they put a stent in there to keep it open so it doesn't collapse. But with me, when I went for the angiogram, they found that because of sugar diabetes, and that being my fault, because I allowed myself to get overweight, and it ends up in secondary diabetes. And so a stent can be used where there's a cholesterol problem. They blow the thing up, the cholesterol moves on, and they put the stent in its place. But when you have diabetes, what happens is it corrodes like sandblasting. You guys know what sandblasting is. It corrodes the inside of your veins for two longer P's. So a stent is not long enough. And so they have to actually cut that vein. Actually, they don't cut the vein out. They take a vein out of your leg, which for me was the biggest surprise, because I didn't realize that until I woke up from the operation. I had a scar from under my foot there till just up here somewhere. And they replace it. And as they replace it, that redundant part actually grows down. It ceases to exist. And so I believe that God wants to say to you guys this morning that He wants for you guys to be in the place where, if God needs to do that, if there's something in your heart that needs to happen, that you would give Him, you'd open your heart to Him. Say, Lord, do the surgery. Because the thing was, as I came out of the operation, the heart surgeon actually said to Patty, your husband's heart is strong. It's the veins around the heart that are weak. And so I want to encourage you guys to open your heart and say, Lord, if you want to put a stent in, put a stent in. Lord, if you want to replace a vein, replace a vein. But as God calls us, He radically transforms us. He doesn't conform us to the world, but He transforms us into the people that He wants us to be. And it's a change that touches every single part of our body. There's nothing that isn't affected. When I had the heart operation, it affected my whole being. Because before that, I was on my way out. I don't like to say that in front of my wife, because she gets like, no, you weren't. But I was. And so you have a radical call on your life. Every one of you seated here today, you're not seated here by chance. You're not here because your friend asked you and you thought you'd come along because it's the fifth year that they've been here, and you knew there would be cakes and coffee and tea. No, you're here because God wants you here this morning. God wants you here this morning. And so we need to, no part of His call is reasonable. What am I saying? Do you know that nothing has been achieved by reasonable people? Everything has been achieved by unreasonable people, because they have said, I refuse to fall within the limits that you are putting on me. So if you go back into the person who developed light, I think it was Edison, all the guys down the road, every single one of them refused to accept the fact that what they were struggling against was actually able to be reasonably resolved. So I want to say to you today, you must not accept the status quo. Maybe the enemy is putting this thing on you that you have reached your limit. You cannot go further in God. I would say higher, but it's not positional. It's further in God, running ahead, not allowing yourself to be tied down to anything. So I want to say those who want to save their lives will actually lose their lives. If you're in the will of God, you have to die that God can raise you up, which in a normal person's mind is unreasonable. But we need to die so that we can live. We need to daily pick up our cross. Remember, I'm talking about your call. In Luke 9:22, anything that cuts across God's will for your life, you need to drop it. What am I talking about? My sons used to play cricket. They're really good cricketers. They're on the verge of making provincial sports cricket sides. And they were playing on a Saturday in the first team. But then the Premier League saw how well they were doing, and so they wanted to go and play on a Sunday. At that stage of our lives, we didn't have an evening service. We only met in the morning. And I had to sit my boys down and say, guys, what is right? I want to cry when I think. Daniel, who you guys have probably met, he was one of those sons. And today when I sit and say to him, Dan, what has God done in your life? Remember that time that you said no to cricket, no to limelight, no to what I could have achieved in my own strength. There was a career in cricketing, but he wouldn't be where he is now. A blessing into the nations. He's an incredible young man. My other son didn't do that well. He gave up cricket, but he hasn't walked close with the Lord. My oldest son is actually now part of Josh Jen Langebaan. And so he's in the family as well. Not that we're the only ones that are right. I just like to think we are the best. We're part of the best. And so radical is thorough and complete. It's not just surface area. If the cupboards that we have in our kitchens these days, they got a veneer and then they normally go through into chipboard. So we don't want to be those people that are just living with veneer in our life. We want God to come and drill into our life. We want him to come and see that chipboard so that we can be exposed for who we are. And do you know why God tests us? He tells us in the Old Testament on quite a few occasions. He tests us to show us the condition of our heart. He's not testing us for any other reason but to show us this is what is there and it needs changing. And you know what? He's such a gracious God. The next type of radical is he is a radical God in terms of his love for us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Who knows this scripture? A lot of people. So I'll read it to you because you don't know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. In the Bible, it also says that a friend will lay his life down for a friend. But will you lay your kid's life down for someone else? Like Abraham was prepared to do with Isaac. Would you do that? I would be prepared to give my life to save a friend. But I don't know if I could take one of my three boys and put them out there in place of somebody else. But God did that. He sent his son. And you know what? His son was pure. He was everything that we are maturing towards. But we'll never get there, I believe, on this space. But looking at what's going on in the world, this space could be sooner than what we think. But anyway, he sent his son, pure, to come and die for you and myself. I always think about it in terms of, I would give my life for give my life for my wife, for my children, and any person here that I saw needed me to give my life for them, I would do it. But I would never be able to put my children there. I'm saying that, and I wouldn't. They would probably lay their life down for me, but I couldn't give their life to save me. Let's just carry on. Sorry, I'm distracting from what God wants to do. I really believe that God wants, this morning, He wants us to know His love in a radical sort of way. In Romans 5 and verse 8, it says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." It actually says in the Word that Jesus was slain before the foundations of the earth. That for me is hard to consider. He died before we were even born for our salvation. So you're not sitting here by chance this morning. As I said, you're sitting here because He has. So love is not superficial. It actually works its way out from the inside. So God is not looking at you and what shape you're in, but He is looking at your heart, and He is making those decisions for you on your life. And so if your heart is, "Hey, God, I want everything that You have for me. Hey, Father. Hey, Jesus." I love to use the word Jesus because God, other religions also use the word God, but they don't use the word Jesus. And so for me, Jesus, come and change my heart for where it should be. The next one for me, and this is really a radical part of my life, it's the fact that God has got radical forgiveness towards you. Those people that just stood now, God forgives you for what you have done. He forgives. I'm sure that all of us that on the way, this is what normally happens on the way here, normally before the service, Patty and I have to repent in the parking lot. Not today. Actually, not today. Because there was a parking open. We didn't have to fight for parking. We could park almost under the shade. And so that's something I think you should do, is keep a parking for the guy that's coming to preach. And under the shade. So in radical forgiveness, Psalm 103, verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." We got a lovely lady in Josh Jen. Some of you may have met her. Her name's Liz East. And so whenever I see her, I say, "Liz, you are far from the west," because their surname's East. Okay. Patsy's got a testimony that she wants to give.
I really just felt, I don't just share this testimony unless the Lord really highlights it to me. And I felt that I had a word for the congregation this morning. And that scripture that says, "Let your light shine so that others can see." I felt like that some people are really wanting their light to shine, but there's a shadow that is over your life. And I want to share a little bit of a story that I struggled with when I first got saved. And that was receiving the fact that Jesus forgave me. So I knew what the Word said, and I knew in my mind what the Word said, but I really struggled to receive His forgiveness. So why I felt like that, and it was like a shadow over my life, in that I wanted my light to shine. I wanted to grow in the Lord. I was born again. I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but there was this shadow that was over my life. And what had happened was, when I was 17 years old, Roland and I were dating, and I fell pregnant at 17. And I went to my parents, with a lot of trepidation. I was the youngest of three girls. And I went to my parents to tell them that I was pregnant. I was writing matric. It was my matric year. It was 1979. And I don't know what I expected my parents to do, but Roland and I had made these plans that we would just stand together and that we would have this baby and we would raise this baby. And I went to my parents with this in my heart. And my parents said to me, my father was a very, he had had a very bad upbringing, and he was quite a cold man. And my father just looked at me and he said to me, you have disappointed me. This is the worst thing you could have done to me, and we will sort it out. And I was just overwhelmed with such guilt at that point, remembering I wasn't saved, okay? I only got saved in my 20s, well, when I was 20. And so my father made a plan. In those days, 1979, abortion was illegal in South Africa. So my parents made this plan. They took this out of my hands. They forbid me to see Roland. They excommunicated him out of the house and said that he was not allowed to come near me. My parents made a plan, and they took me overseas to London, where abortion was legal. And I remember they took me. There was no decision. There was no how do you feel. There was no, my father was like, you disappointed me. We're going to make it right. And yeah, we went overseas under the pretense that we were going on a holiday. And my father had said to me, you will tell everybody that we are going on holiday. So it was the July school holidays of my matric year. And we went on holiday. Meantime, we went to London. They booked me into a clinic, and I had an abortion. When I woke up from my anesthetic, I was already 14 weeks pregnant because I delayed telling my father so long. So it wasn't just, I didn't just take a pill. I had to go through the whole procedure. And yeah, I don't have to say much more about that. And when I woke up from the anesthetic, the first thing my father said is that you will never speak of this to anyone. He said, I demand your secrecy. And we went from there, seriously. I walked out of the clinic, and my father made me go and watch the changing of the guards at Buckingham Palace. And that was it. It was done. He sorted out the problem, and we needed now to move on. And I got back to South Africa. Roland, I just want to say, at the airport, before we left, Roland got on his knees before my father, and he begged my father to rethink the decision. And my father was like, you shouldn't even be here. What are you doing here? Anyway, I got back into South Africa, and my father, went back to school to finish my matric year. My father said to me, this is it. I never had counseling. I wasn't allowed to talk to anybody. I wasn't allowed to talk to him. And so as a result, the shame and the guilt was overwhelming for me. But I just put my head down and I carried on. I wrote my matric and yeah. But later on in my life, when I was 20, so that was when I was 17. When I was 20, I got saved. And when I got saved, it got so much worse. Because then I realized that this is murder. I murdered somebody. This is the most unforgivable sin. Like, God surely cannot forgive me of murder. And I really struggled in this area. And I wanted my light to shine. I wanted to give my life wholly and totally to the Lord. But I had this shadow over my life. And I struggled with that for many years. In the process, Roland went to the army. My parents, we were persistent in our relationship. And my parents eventually relented. But my father hated Roland. So it was very, very difficult times. But what happened was, Roland was going to the army. I got saved. And then I started with the struggle. And we got engaged, we got married, and I still struggled. I tried, I tried so hard to be this amazing Christian, but I struggled because the shadow was over my life. And I couldn't use the word abortion. I couldn't watch any program about abortion. I couldn't read an article. I was broken. And we got saved. We got involved in church life. Roland had amazing prophetic words over him about what he would be doing for the Lord, for us as a couple, and I just struggled. And I could not walk in the Lord's forgiveness. I couldn't fathom it. It was so dark. And eventually, I mean, we got married. I had my first child. I had my second child. I still struggled. There was just this one thing. And then one day, we were at a conference back in the day, and the guy who was preaching, he said, there's somebody here who has had an abortion, and they can't receive the Lord's forgiveness. And at this time, as well as having struggling with forgiveness that Jesus had forgiven me, I was also had unforgiveness towards specifically my father, because I felt like he hadn't given me any choice. And at that conference, he said, could you stand? And you know that I wasn't the only one, that there were a few people who stood, and he prayed over us. And at that time, I felt a release. And I just felt like the power of the Holy Spirit came upon me, and I felt such a release. There was a revelation that Jesus has forgiven me. That this was not the unforgivable sin. That Jesus could forgive me. Yes, was I a murderer? Yes. But Jesus could forgive me. And from that moment, I started to walk in forgiveness of receiving God's forgiveness. I started to walk, but it took me a while to walk it out, because I still needed to discard myself from the shame and the guilt. And so we were already in Benoni, leading a congregation, a church in Benoni, city on a hill. My kids were all going into their teenage years, where I actually went for counseling for the first time. And during that counseling time, this lady sat with me, and we worked through the shame and the guilt. And it was after that that I went to my boys and I told my boys. And you know what was in the dark, I brought into the light. And when I brought it into the light, I felt light. And I felt the shadow just let go. And I actually started, just before we came to Cape Town, I started a pregnancy crisis center for girls. And I went on a course, and I learned how to help others that had an abortion. And I felt that was where the Lord wanted to use me. But I started to walk in such freedom. And I felt today, there are people here who have a similar struggle that I had. That you want your light to shine. Be more radical for what the Lord has, but you're struggling in this one area. And I feel like the Lord wants you to be free. I feel like the Lord wants you to respond this morning. You know that word that came during the worship? I really just felt that you feel out. You don't feel a part of. Maybe this is why. You feel out and you don't feel a part of, because you're carrying guilt and you're carrying shame for things that were done before you were even saved. But you can't believe that the Lord can actually forgive you for that. And I want to tell you today, as a witness to what the Lord has done in my life, that He has forgiven you. He is a radical God, and He has a radical forgiveness towards you. And that He wants you from today to walk in freedom and accept and receive His forgiveness.